Well, let's read a couple of verses together, please, from 1 Corinthians, verse in chapter 8, verse 1. Tonight, I'm just going to share with you very briefly a little on the thought of edification, edifying one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Chapter 10. Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Chapter 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. The word edify, from the root meaning to build up. It may be used of an ordinary building like this. Under construction, as day by day the stones are added and then the rafters and then the roof and what have you, you might say the building is being edified. It's the same root meaning. But in the New Testament, the word edify, or its derivatives, in most cases, have a spiritual significance rather than a material. And to build up in the spiritual sense means to encourage, to fortify, to strengthen, to help, to add to benefit. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at it under four simple headings. First of all, edifying ourselves, then edifying one another, edifying the assembly, or the local church, and then edifying the body of Christ, that mystical body, the church as a whole. Now let's look at a couple of verses in the epistle by Jude. Let's read from verse 8. The epistle by Jude, and reading at verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they are gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We think we have it tough. We think these are dark days. We think people are bad. I know there are thieves. Now, they've been at me the last couple of weeks, taking my mangoes. We say that these are dark days. These are nothing to compare to the days in which Jude lived, the early apostle, in the first century, the second century AD. Those people were harassed and actually mishandled, physically abused, because they named the name of Christ. We don't have any such opposition. And Jude is telling the Christians about these people. He's telling them exactly who they are and what they are. He says they are like twinkling stars, wandering stars, traveling, but they're going to land in the blackness of darkness forever. They're like raging waves of the sea, and you're afraid. You see the white caps, and they're heading towards you, but they're going to be dashed on the shores, and you're never going to see them again. He says, don't be afraid of them. Stand up for your faith. This faith, as he says in the first couple of verses, that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Stand by it. Hold it fast. Don't be afraid of these people. They can't hurt you. They may harm you, but they can't hurt you. They can never attack or take that eternal life that you possess. And he says, in the midst of it all, build up yourselves. Edify yourselves. I'm afraid that most church-going people, by and large, depend on the minister, the preacher, to bring them edification, to build them up. But Jude says, we must build up ourselves, we must edify ourselves. And he gives one way in which we can do it. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to keep that firm and constant faith in God, to believe in a God who answers prayer. I know there are a lot of things that come into our lives that can discourage us, and we may think sometimes that the heaviness is brass and God doesn't hear us. But he says, edify yourselves, build up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. Allow the Spirit of God to convict you of the things for which you should pray. Pray in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. Believe in that prayer. Lay hold of God. Don't give up. Stand firm. Just as you stand firm against the onslaughts of these people who are trying to destroy you. They're destroying your property. Stand firm in spiritual things and have that faith in God, that believing prayer. So building up yourselves, edifying yourselves, making yourselves strong in the faith, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If we wait to be built up and edified and strengthened only in the times when we come together in church services a couple times a week, we're going to find that our Christianity and our faith is going to be threadbare. You know, you're going to be able to see through it pretty soon. But we must learn to edify ourselves in private. And another way we can edify ourselves is by reading and meditating on the Word of God and imbibing and then following, putting into practice what we read. What do we read? It's the Word of God to us like a magnet? Does it draw us? Is it to us like food? Do we have appetite for it? Is it to us like gold? Do we desire it? If we do not feed on the Word of God in our private lives at home, if we do not build up ourselves by getting a knowledge of the Word of God and the will of God, by reading His Word, then we are going to be weak. The blocks are going to become, get loose. The plaster is going to drop off. The roof is going to begin to leak. Our faith will get weak. It'll become threadbare. We'll be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. And we begin to give up hope. We begin to doubt whether the Lord is coming as He said He would. We begin to become critical of our brothers and sisters. We begin to find fault with everything and everybody. But if we get a full and comprehensive overall knowledge of the Word of God and allow it to speak to us, then we shall be building up ourselves, strengthening ourselves in the faith. And we'll be able to give an answer to every man that asketh us, a reason of the hope that is within us, even though it's with meekness and fear. So what are we reading? What are we feeding on? Husk? Or the old corn of the land? Garbage? Or the finest of the wheat? How much emphasis do we place on the Word of God? How often do we read it and meditate in it and allow it to become a part of us? To masticate it, to assimilate. Building up yourself. Don't wait to be spoon-fed always by the preacher when you come to meeting. Get something for yourself. And as many have said, if you get it for yourself, it's going to stay with you. You'll enjoy it better if you get it for yourself. You may not be able to put together all of the various scriptures and to, you know, make a nice presentation. You know, none of us here tonight can do that. At best, we fumble and we do our best. But at least we can read it. And when we find something that's good, we can chew on it and enjoy it. And be able to pass it on to somebody else. Building up yourself. Do not neglect it. Don't wait just to have somebody else try to build you up. Building up yourself, says the Apostle Jude. Back to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. In chapter 14, Paul is dealing with meats and days, observances, the days and months and so forth, and eating of meat. And the Christians seem to be placing so much emphasis on these non-essentials, they lost sight of what their real purpose in life was. They were making food and not faith the ground of fellowship. Can you imagine? Just because somebody ate this or somebody didn't eat that, you couldn't have fellowship with them? So they were majoring on the minor things. Now he says, we ought to edify one another. We ought to build up one another. It's easy for us to break down. You know, if you get a whole side of a building up with blocks before you put the roof on, well, I could even knock it down. You know, it's not hard to knock it down. It would be impossible for me to put it up. I have the faintest idea how you put up a building. You know, it'd be like this if I put it up. Or like this. But I could knock it down. And we're good at knocking things down. We're good at knocking people down, one another down, aren't we? We can do a good job at that. But Paul says we should be building up one another. We should be helping, encouraging, strengthening, building up one another, making each other stronger and better. That's what we should be doing. You're coming down like a ton of bricks on your brother because he's eating this meat or he isn't eating that. Or he keeps this day and he doesn't keep the other day that you keep. Those are non-essentials, he says. We should be building up one another, encouraging one another in spiritual things. He goes on to say, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We are interrelated, the one to the other. And we should have a care, one for the other, as Paul further develops in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, we have a responsibility toward one another. Everybody is not strong like me. Everybody's not strong like you. You see? You know, I get the idea, well, if I can find time to read the Bible and pray and work for the Lord, then why can't everybody else find the same time? Well, maybe they can't. But maybe, maybe if I helped them, maybe they could. Instead of criticizing them and cutting them down, if I tried to help them, to build them up, to encourage them, maybe they would. They could, and maybe they would. So, Jude says, edify yourself. Take care of things at home and make sure you edify yourself. Now, Paul says, edify one another. Get concerned about your brother, your sister. That's a hard thing for us to do. We can pick out the faults and we can talk about them day and night for 9 days. But it's hard for us to pick out the good points and talk about them, and it's harder still to try to encourage one another in building up, maybe making suggestions, maybe taking somebody by the hand and in a practical way helping them. So, not only be concerned about ourselves, building up ourselves, but edify one another. Be concerned about your brother, your sister, and do whatever you can to help them, to lift them up, to build them up, to edify them, to strengthen them, to make them strong, so that their faith will not waver. They'll not go off at the deep end when trials come, when testings come. Edify one another. Build them up. Thirdly, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. The elders, the leaders of each church, each assembly, are in the main responsible for edifying that local assembly, that local church. God has ordained in the New Testament that His church, each local assembly, be ruled, if I can use that word, it's a scriptural word, governed, administered over, by men that He has gifted, who have the responsibility to minister the truth of God's word, in order that that church, that assembly, may be built up, edified. It may grow strong. You see, there is rule in the church. And I'm afraid that today, a lot of people do not like to think about it. We live in a democratic society. where we are told that we're all equal. Every man, every woman has a vote. And that's the way we think. But God has ordained in the New Testament that each assembly be governed and ruled by the elders. Not that they exercise this authority and rule in any superior fashion as being lords over God's heritage, but they, under the chief shepherd, are responsible to him to teach, to feed, to guide, to lead that assembly in his ways. And they are the ones in particular responsible to build up the assembly as a whole. Now, the elders may choose to invite evangelists and teachers to come in to assist, to help in this particular work. But by and large, the elders are those who are there all the time. And they are the ones to whom the church as a whole, the assembly, has to look. And they are the ones who have to take and share the responsibility of being able to guide the flock and to minister to them, to teach them, not only by precept, as I'm doing tonight, standing up here, but by example, living before them, and in a practical way to help wherever it is necessary. So this is the third step in the edification. There is the individual, the personal edification, build up yourself. There is the interrelation, edify one another. But now it is a case of the church, the assembly, the local church, being edified by the men whom God has gifted and equipped to teach and to guide the assembly. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, a solemn warning, we might read, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now over to chapter 6. And verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now in chapter 6, you could take those words to refer primarily to your individual body, and secondarily to the church. But in chapter 3, I think that the emphasis is on the local church. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the elders of every local church to make sure that that church, that body of believers, stays holy insofar as they themselves are able, through the proper ministry of the word, through discipline, if and when necessary, and to be alert for false doctrine, false teachers coming in among the people of God. So the elders are the ones who are responsible then to build up the assembly, the local church. They themselves to be able to teach and to choose to bring in others who will share in that ministry for the upbuilding, and to guard the assembly so that evil does not persist. If and when it happens, it appears, then evil and sin must be judged so that the temple of God, the local church, is kept holy. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And God will come in judgment upon any church that allows evil to persist unjudged. The elders are the ones responsible to God for that. Finally, Ephesians chapter 4. And this is edifying the body of Christ, the mystical body, the corporate body, the church universal. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some, that is, some churches, some assemblies, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here is that universal building up where the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers have been gifted and sent forth into the world to preach the gospel and to minister the word. What does it say? For the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints in every given locality might be perfected, might be built up, might be edified, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, there are these gifted men, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, who do not settle down in one particular assembly, but go throughout the world where God calls them, ministering God's word, preaching the gospel, and teaching, so that the local companies and the individuals in those local churches may be built up, may be edified, and perfected. Till we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, that is from Christ, the last word in verse 15. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a hard verse to comprehend. What it means, as I understand it, is that the different parts of my body, all of the acids, juices, glands, muscles, fibers, nerves, working for each other, for the good of each other, makes the body grow and increase, so it is in the Church of Christ. Every part ministering to the other, everyone helping one another. And look at the end of verse 16, it says, unto the edifying of itself in love. We come right back where we started. So the circle is complete. We've gone a complete cycle. Edifying yourselves, Jude says. Paul says, edify one another. Then he says that the elders are responsible to edify the local church. Then the evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers are to edify generally the saints. And as they help one another, then it's unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole church is helped and built up and strengthened. So we start with ourselves and we go out to each other and we come right back to where we started. And it's a complete whole. The body of Christ in its mystical form is complete. I know we see it torn apart by schisms and spasms and isms. But it is complete. And it is a perfect church. It will be. God sees it as perfect. But we have to play our part to make it perfect. We've got to work at ourselves, and then each other, and then the church, local. And if God calls us to have a part in the church universal, let's work at edifying ourselves and one another. Now, building up each other instead of tearing down one another or tearing down the work of God. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. And if we put our hands to destroy the work of God just because we have a pet peeve against somebody or something, let's be careful that God's hand doesn't rest upon us. But rather, let us try to build up. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the challenge that we receive from Thy Word when we read it, dwell upon it. It humbles us to think that Thou art so great and we are so weak, and yet Thou hast called us into the fellowship of Thyself and Thy Son, made us a part of this great work, this great church, the church universal. And we have a part to play, be it ever so small or insignificant, yet we have a part to play. Lord, help us to play it for Thee and for Thy glory. It may be our harp has only one string. Lord, help us to strum it with all our might for You. If it has two or three or six, then the greater responsibility is ours. Lord, give us grace and strength to do it for You. So speak to our hearts and challenge us and help us. May we build up ourselves. May we seek to build up one another and to build up the church, to do whatever we can to enhance and to expand and extend Thy work. Help us to do it until Jesus comes or until we're called away by death. Take our thanks then for this, our coming together, for this time together in Thy presence, and answer our prayers, Lord, those petitions that we've asked of Thee, asked in faith, and asked in that all-availing name of Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.